Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another broadcast of Christ-honoring gospel. Yes, the wonderful story of redeeming love, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how that He was buried, and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, today we're going to open up the broadcast with a lovely old-fashioned hymn, and it's entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Today, I'm going to test the concern you Christian listeners have for the souls of your unsaved friends, neighbors, and relatives. Now, you profess to be a child of God, and if you're really saved and born again, you know that you have been delivered from eternal damnation in the fires of hell. Now, here's the test. If you really are saved, and if you have a burden for souls, then just stop whatever you're doing and ask someone to listen to the broadcast. Please, friend, right now, while the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your soul, telephone that friend or neighbor and ask them to listen to the program. You know, if we Christians put our Christianity into practice, there would be fewer souls in hell today. Yes, if we stop to think where our friends and relatives are really going to spend all eternity if they die unsaved, well, there's one thing sure, we would do everything possible to lead them to Christ, because, friend, if they're not saved soon, they'll not be saved at all. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for His condescending grace, leaving the heights of heaven and coming down to this sin-cursed earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank Thee, our God, for the value and the virtue Thou hast placed upon His finished work at Calvary, for that precious blood which alone cleanseth from sin. And our God, we thank Thee too for having extended the day of grace, so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to open Thy Word and to bring a gospel message from it. May there be unsaved tuned in our way today, and may the Holy Spirit of God even now be seeking to bring conviction to their soul, save them before it's eternally too late, for we ask it in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now then, those of you who have your Bibles or New Testaments handy, I'll be using as a text for today one verse as we find it in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5, and verse 12. Romans, chapter 5, and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, some of you who are listening some time ago may recall that I sought to bring before you the significance of a three-letter word called sin. Now then, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to bring to your attention another three-letter word, which I believe is just as important as the word sin. And the word to which I refer is the word all. A-L-L, all. Now, friend, the Word of God has much to say about all of us. Yes, whether we're red, yellow, black, or white, rich or poor, old or young, Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, Irish, Scotch, or Pole. God tells us certain things which pertained to each and every one of us. And since this subject of universality is so vast, today I shall only refer to the fact that all mankind in his unregenerated condition is lost, guilty, and hell-deserving in the sight of a holy God. And friends, in bringing before you this subject today, I do so with the Bible, God's Word, as my only authority. And I'm sure you'll notice the frequent reference to the exact portion of Scripture which gives us God's picture of you and I if we've never been born again by the Holy Spirit of God from above. Now, at the outset, let me say that God is no respecter of persons. He looks down from his throne in heaven today, and he sees everything we do. He knows our every thought, and he hears every word we utter. He knows our age, our health, and our station in life. He knows our nationality, our race, our creed, and whether we're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, or of any other religious sect or system. Yes, and he knows whether we're concerned about our soul's eternal destiny. He knows whether you're listening to this broadcast today because of curiosity and scorn, or if you really want to hear about God's great plan of redemption. And friend, as you listen to the voice of the gospel program today, I trust that God's Holy Spirit will clear your mind of all secular thoughts and will give you a real, heartfelt desire to know what God has to say about all of us, you and I and everyone else, if we're still unsaved. Now, in our text for today, Romans 5 and verse 12, God tells us that wherefore, as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, friends, in this verse of Scripture, God plainly tells us that because of Adam's sin and transgression against God way back there in the Garden of Eden, the penalty of death was placed not only upon Adam and Eve, but upon the whole human race, because we're all born with the sinful nature which we inherited from our first parents. You may recall how Adam was told by God not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God further stated that if he did eat of the forbidden fruit, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, friend, we know that Adam did not die physically that day, even after he ate the fruit. In fact, he lived to be 930 years of age. So what did God mean? Well, God here was speaking of spiritual death, or spiritual separation from God. And what caused it? S-I-N, sin. That's the reason the prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God. Now, not only was God speaking of spiritual death, but he was also referring to Adam's future physical death, because we read in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death. And in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, we're told, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So you see, my friend, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they not only brought physical and spiritual death to themselves, but also to all their offspring, including you and I. That's the reason God says death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's the reason that God declares in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, in Adam, all die. That's the reason we're told in Romans 5 and verse 19, wherefore as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And that's the reason God tells us in Psalm 51 and 5, that we're all born in sin and chastened in iniquity. And that's the reason God says in Ephesians 2 and 1, that if we're unsaved, we're all dead in trespasses and in sin. And finally, my friend, that's the reason that Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, that Pharisee over in John chapter 3 and verse 3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yes, the Son of God is telling the righteous ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus, that since he was born with a sinful Adamic nature, he must experience the spiritual birth if he expects to be in God's heaven. And friends, this spiritual rebirth takes place the moment a sinner acknowledges his lost condition before God, repents of his sin, and accepts God's Son, Jesus Christ, as his own personal Savior. Now, not only does God say that we're all spiritually dead, but he also tells us that we're all lost. Yes, if you're not a child of God today listening in, and that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, then according to God, you're lost. You're lost. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, we read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him, meaning Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Friend, here God declares that the unsaved are just like lost sheep, each one going in his own way without the leadership of the good and great shepherd, Jesus Christ, God's Son. Over in Romans 3 and verse 12, we read again of our lost condition with these words. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Yes, sinner friend, we've all gone astray, and all have gone out of the way. But thank God, even though the way that seemeth right unto a man ends in death, nevertheless, a new and living way has been provided for all of us. Yes, so that all of us can approach the holiness of God. And that approach, my friend, is through none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In John 14 and 6, here's what he says. I am the way, not one of the ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, how sweet those words are to those of us redeemed by blood. We who are once strangers to grace and to God, we who are on the broad way going down to hell, now we're joint heirs with God and his beloved Son. Yes, friend, man's way ends in death, but Jesus Christ is the way that ends in life everlasting to those who place their faith and trust in him. You know, friends, it seems as though all mankind is groping in a world darkened by sin. He's lost in a maze of vice and corruption, which is steadily getting worse, and which shall culminate in the Lord's return for his church. Yes, these are days, I believe, just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And as the darkness hovers over your head, my friend, and as evil seems to be having its way throughout the world, our thoughts are continually upon those who are lost, those who are yet in their sins, and those who've never experienced the new birth. Oh, friend, let me hasten to warn you today before I go any further. The day of grace is soon drawing to a close. The Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming to take the saved ones home to heaven with him. And if you're lost when he comes, or when you die, it will mean the flames of hell for all eternity. Friend, are you ready for death? Are you ready for the second coming of Christ, which could be today? Yes, there need be not one prophecy fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again to claim from the world his own. So, friend, why not be like the prodigal son over in Luke chapter 15? Acknowledge your sinful condition in the sight of God, then simply receive Jesus Christ as the Savior for your soul. And let me ask you, my friend, if you're not depending upon the blood of Jesus Christ to take you into God's heaven, then tell me, in what or in whom are you depending? Friend, the only way into God's presence is through faith in the death of his Son, and that precious shed blood that flowed at Calvary's cross. And that's the reason it's so important for you to give heed to the Word of God today. Realize where you are and what you are in the sight of a holy God. My friend, you must be born again or you'll never see the kingdom of God. Now then, the third point I want to make concerning the condemning word all is the fact that we're all sinners. And you might say, well, surely no one would doubt that. Yes, friend, some people refuse to believe that they're sinners. Some even go to the extreme of denying the existence of sin itself. I talked to a young college man in my office a few years ago, and he was really sincere when he made the statement that he couldn't think of any way in which he sinned. Now, I'll admit that these are rare cases, but how about you who do admit that you're a sinner? Do you realize that sinners who have never been born again cannot enter heaven? Listen, friend, Romans 3:23 tells us there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, friends, here God tells us that all of us are sinners, regardless of who we may be. And furthermore, we've fallen short of the glory of God. And it's impossible for any one of us, including the speaker, to enter the kingdom of God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3:22, we read these words, "The Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." And further on down the chapter, Paul tells the Christians in the assembly at Galatia, "For ye are all the children of God," how? "By faith in Jesus Christ." Again, over in Romans chapter 11:32, Paul says, "God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Ah, listen, sinner friend. God's word repeatedly declares that we're all sinners. But thank God he graciously tells us that we can all become children of God through faith in his Son. Yes, and the Bible tells us in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." So, friend, if you ever expect to be in heaven, you must first of all admit that you're a lost, spiritually dead, and hell-deserving sinner. Then and only then can the Lord Jesus Christ become your Savior. In Luke chapter 19:10, he tells us that he came to seek and to save those that are lost. So, friend, the moment God's Holy Spirit convicts you of your sinful condition in God's sight, that very moment you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and know the joy of sin forgiven and life eternal. But remember this. Yes, remember this before I pass on. No one was ever saved who didn't first realize they were lost. Friend, conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps someone listening in today truly believes that they're a Christian, yet they never have experienced the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, friend, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, let me hasten to tell you that you're not saved at all. No, you're still on the broad road to hell if you've never been convicted of your sins. If you've never seen your sins nailing Jesus Christ to the cross, then you're still unsaved. If you've never had heartfelt concern for your soul's eternal welfare, you're still in your sins. And if you've never repented of your sins, then you're still serving your father, the devil. Yes, and if you're not a new creature, not a reformed creature, but if you're not a new creature in Christ Jesus, then you've never been born again. And therefore, you're headed for the lake of fire. Now, I'm sure that what I've been bringing before you today is not being too well received in some quarters. Some of you don't like to hear about sin. You don't care to be reminded of death. You don't like to think of hell and the lake of fire. Well, friend, as long as God gives me the breath to speak the words of truth as found in his book, the Bible, which you can read for yourself, I'm going to preach man's ruin and God's marvelous remedy. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Because ye must be born again. Why? Because it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Oh, sinner friend, if I could only make you realize today that you're a sinner that needs to be saved. If you could only get a glimpse of hell and see the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth that awaits each Christ-rejecting sinner, I know, yes, I know that you would close in with Jesus Christ before another moment passes. Yes, you'd really be in a hurry to get saved. So why not just take God at His word and let His Son, Jesus Christ, become your Savior and Lord right now? Now perhaps the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with some of you even now. You realize that you are a sinner, but the devil, the enemy of your soul, keeps reminding you of your so-called good works, your church membership, your baptism, your confirmation, your dedication, your prayers, your sacraments, your fasting, your tithing, your Bible reading, your morals, your ethics, your culture, your education and civic pride. Listen, sinner friend. Listen to what God says about you if you've never truly been born again. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, God declares, "For we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses," that means good works and religious rituals, "all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Did you hear that, friend? This is God's estimate of your so-called good works. Nothing but filthy rags. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let me repeat that, friend. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you still listening, friend? Well, over in Titus 3 and verse 5, God says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." Are you still tuned in? Romans 4 and verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith," not his work, "his faith is counted for righteousness." Oh, friend, I could go on and on telling you what God says about all of your so-called good works and religious rituals. But why go any further? The Bible, I believe, is very clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that faith must be in the sin-cleansing blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Not in your so-called good works or rituals or religion or education or anything else you might try to do in order to gain heaven. Friend, it's simply through faith in the precious blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now friends, before I was saved back on June the 2nd of 1952, I was what I believe most people would call a religious man. I was a professional man who realized that there was a God. I was a college professor who was aware of the fact that the Bible was the Word of God and that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I was active in church work, veterans affairs, civic groups, and politics. I wasn't an alcoholic. I wasn't a thief or an adulterer either. But listen, friend. Had I died one second before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I would be in hell today, suffering the wrath of God for all eternity. Yes, it's only by the grace of God that I'm able to stand before this microphone today and to tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me and what He can likewise do for you. Friend, listen. Listen to what God has to say. Don't rest your soul's eternal welfare on your own ideas, or any other man's ideas either. God tells us in Romans 3 and verse 19 that all the world is guilty in His sight. In Psalm 14 and verse 3, He tells us we've all gone aside and we've all become filthy. So there we have it, friends. God's Word plainly declares that because in Adam all die, therefore death has passed upon all men because all have sinned. He further tells us that we're all under sin. We're all lost. We're all guilty and hell-deserving sinners in His sight. And if we go on in our present spiritually dead condition, it will mean hell and the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. Friend, I plead with you today. I plead with you as this radio program comes to a close to stop long enough to consider where you are and what you are in view of what the Bible says, in view of the certainty of death, and in view of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again soon. Now, friends, perhaps this will be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel of the grace of God. And wouldn't it be a terrible thing to hear God's warnings from His own blessed book than to trample underfoot the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, that alone cleanseth from all sin. Wouldn't it be terrible to hear the gospel today and to be in hell tonight? Well, you know, God warns in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again, we read His warning given over there in Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In closing, my friend, let me exhort you as an individual sinner to acknowledge your need for a Savior, and then to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one who can meet your need. Yes, right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, I plead with you, yes, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to accept Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you'll do that right now, the Word of God, which cannot lie, says you'll be saved for time, and thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, again we bow in Thy holy presence at the close of another radio message to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for His condescending grace. We thank Thee for the precious blood that flowed for our sin at Calvary. And our God, we claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void. May there be those out in radio land today, trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior before it's too late. We'll be careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.